We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now as we meditate upon an extremely precious verse which you've given us, this verse and the following ones. And we pray that you reveal the meaning of Scripture to us and open our hearts and make them receptive to it. We pray all this in Jesus' name, who made this possible. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 6. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Who is this? The verse opens with a question which indicates shock and amazement. Who is this? The context here is extremely important if we're going to get a correct understanding to the answer of this question. Remember that this is the end of the third section of Song of Songs. And for the third time, we are standing on resurrection ground. The wedding day was spoken of by the bride in verse 4. It was but a little that I passed by them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. We looked at these words 2 weeks ago. So now we're talking about the great wedding day, which was planned in eternity past. The marriage of Jesus Christ and his bride, the elect church. And so now the question, who is this? Most of the commentators that I looked at after I had finished studying the verse myself figured it was a bride. It isn't. It's the bridegroom. There is an answer to this question. We don't have to guess about this. There is an answer to the question, who is this? It so happens that this is not the only time this question has been asked in Scripture. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 10, when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the context is very important. We've got to know. Identification in Scripture is very, very important. For thousands of years, we've waited and waited for the coming of the promised seed. The question is, when he comes, who is it? Who is this? Well, let's look at the context. Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. When they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion. Notice, it's not the daughters of Jerusalem here in Matthew. It's tell ye the daughter of Zion. We're talking about the elect bride of Christ. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread the garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, here's the question, who is this? And the multitude said, and here's the answer, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. So now back to Song of Songs, chapter 3, verse 6, the same question. Who is this? And in order to understand what follows, we have to know the correct answer to the question. And the answer is the same as it was in Matthew chapter 21. Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Only the situation here in Song of Songs is amazingly different. This time he does not come in humility, riding on the back of a donkey. This time he comes in glory to take his bride. Who is this? We know who this is, the who. We know that now. It's Jesus. Now we look at the speakers who ask the question. And there's disagreement on this also. The commentators that I looked at gave two different answers to that question. Who are the ones who are speaking? Now, the first answer was the daughters of Jerusalem. I don't believe that for a minute. And the next one is it's the bride, which is possible. But it just so happens that there's a third possibility that none of them mentioned. And the third possibility would be that the speakers who in amazement are watching and asking the question, who is this? The speakers are the holy angels. It's interpretive, yes, but I don't believe we're guessing at this either. This was an amazing thing. You had the bride of Christ living in the great and terrible wilderness. And she was destined for an eternity in hell. She was a terrible sinner. And as the angels are watching, all of a sudden a transformation has taken place. And Peter talks about this in his first epistle, chapter 1, beginning with I'll begin from the first verse. Inspired by the Holy Spirit now, remember. We're talking about one author of this the book, not many. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. These are Gentile cities, notice. They're not cities located in the country of Jerusalem. These are outsiders who at one time were heathen. The Jewish people only considered two nations on the earth, Israel and the other ones who were the Gentile, the heathen. Well, there were elect among the heathen nations also, and that's the ones to whom Peter is writing. Elect, according to the foreknowledge, that means the forelove, God loved before. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, capital S, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace be to you and peace be multiplied. So you've got the Father, you've got the Holy Spirit, and you've got the Son. They are responsible, all three, for the bride coming out of the great and terrible wilderness. We've mentioned this before, but try to remember this. The great and terrible wilderness, I'm going to mention this a few minutes, is the world that we're living in. Everybody walks into it. Nobody comes out. It's the wilderness of death. And all of a sudden, as the angels are watching, they see somebody coming out. In amazement, they ask, who is this? Who is this one that's coming out when nobody else could? And the answer is Jesus Christ. Getting back to Peter chapter 1 again, 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Yeah, he died in that great and terrible wilderness. But he rose again from the dead. To run out to the bride again, what do we get from this? An inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Talk about the bride of Christ, who are kept by the power of God. Thank God for that, or none of us would make it. Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through many temptations, manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Okay, now these were written, these words were written to the elect Gentiles. They're elect with the elect Jewish people. And they were written, these things were written and foretold. Everything Peter has written was foretold in the Old Testament by the prophets. Now the Holy Spirit mentions the prophets here in 1 Peter under chapter 1, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So here's something we would not know unless the Holy Spirit told us, and that is that these prophets, these Old Testament prophets who prophesied of the coming in of the elect bride from the Gentile nations, they were searching their own writings, trying to figure out what the Holy Spirit was meaning. It was a deep book to them also. They had to search their own writings to try to figure this out. Still talking about the prophets, unto whom it was revealed that not unto them themselves, but unto us, did they minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Now this is the phrase that this is all about this morning for us. Which things the angels desire to look into. Let's not forget ever that there are legions of holy angels that are watching intently as the scene unfolds on this great and terrible wilderness earth that we are living in. They are watching intently, and they are amazed at what they're seeing. They watch in amazement as the Son of God delivers his bride and brings her to the marriage altar. They're amazed at this. They see her in her lost and helpless condition, a candidate for hell like all the rest. They see her bridegroom coming into the world at Bethlehem in the manger. They see the bridegroom shedding his blood for her on Golgotha. They see his resurrection and ascension to heaven, and they see her in her glorified condition. And the amazement here in what we're looking at comes when they see Jesus ascending out of this great and terrible wilderness that has captured everybody else. Nobody comes out of this place. It's the valley of the shadow of death. And they're watching. And then somebody comes out. Who is this? Who is this one that has conquered death? The one that cometh out of this great and terrible wilderness like pillars of smoke. We'll get into that in a minute. Perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all the powders of the merchant. Let's look very, very carefully at these words. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness, not a wilderness? There's a lot of wildernesses in this world, but the world itself is called the wilderness. There's no other wilderness like this one. It's inhabited by scorpions. Danger all around. It's mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 19, and when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which ye saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. It's mentioned also, this great and terrible wilderness, in Deuteronomy 8:15. Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought. Couldn't find a drop of water anywhere. Where there was no water. Who brought forth water out of the rock of flint. And we know that rock was Christ. There is no better description of the world that we're living in than this one, that great and terrible wilderness. And this is where the bride was wandering helplessly. Many and powerful are her enemies. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Satan is pictured as walking to and fro through this world, seeking whom he may devour. And many wicked angels are doing it with him. It is a terribly dangerous situation. Little wonder that nobody has come out of it. It's a hopeless situation. Between heaven and hell, there is a great gulf fix, and nobody can come out of it. Well, one person did come out of it. Who is this? Who is this that came out of this great and terrible wilderness? Who is it that came out of hell and nobody else can come out of? It's the Son of God. The holy angels watch in amazement, and they see that Jesus Christ, during those 3 hours of darkness after his death and during the time of darkness, went into the kingdom of the devil and preached a victory sermon down there to the enemy. And then he did what nobody else could do. He came back out again. He came back out. This is the bridegroom who boldly went where no man had gone before and lived to tell about it. He descended into hell, preached his victory sermon, and came back out. Then he came into this great and terrible wilderness, and he came out of it. And as the holy angels watch in amazement, they cry out, "Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness?" And the description that follows gives us the answer. We've already had it, but it gives us an answer again. Like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, there's a clue, with all the powders of the merchant. Well, let's look at the pillars of smoke. Some relate it to the sacrifice that Jesus gave, which is possible. It's a possible interpretation. But when you look at the context, I think it's quite different. Pillars of smoke are mentioned in Joel chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 28 to 32. The pillars of smoke are mentioned in verse 30. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. There it is. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and terrible day of the Lord. They're talking about the judgment day, which, by the way, is the same day as the wedding day. But it's judgment for the children of the devil, and it's a wedding for the children of God. And here you have another example of that precious truth, that the marriage of the bride of Jesus Christ to the bridegroom and the total destruction of his enemies and hers go hand in hand. You can't have the one without the other. So here you see the bridegroom coming out of this great and terrible wilderness, and he's already destroyed the enemy. It's judgment day. That's precious beyond words. The pillars of smoke are indicative of cities that have gone up in fire and smoke. They've been conquered by the Son of God. And the pillars of the smoke are like the pillars of smoke that went up from Sodom and Gomorrah when they were destroyed with fire and brimstone from heaven. These things were foretold in the book of Exodus with the plagues down in Egypt, but that's only the tip of the iceberg. These things were foretold also at Sodom and Gomorrah, but that's only the tip of the iceberg also. There's a greater judgment that's coming, and it's coming on the whole world. The pillars of smoke are the smoke that's coming up from towns that have been burned in warfare. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 18 reads this way, "For wickedness burneth as the fire. It shall devour the briars and thorns, and shall kindle in the thickets of the forest, and they shall mount up like the lifting up of smoke." Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 14, gives us both sides of the coin. "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. For to the one..." He's talking about we who preach the gospel. "To the one we are the savor of death unto death. To the people who hear the gospel and reject it, it's death to them. And to the other a savor of life unto life. Who is sufficient for these things?" Okay, it was common in those days that when an enemy army was conquered, many of the soldiers were taken captive. They were brought back to the land of the army that conquered them, and there was a victory parade. And the conquered soldiers were bound in chains, and they walked along the parade route to the place where they were going to be executed. Dead men walking, that's what they were. And as they were walking toward their death, young girls would be walking beside them, taking and sprinkling incense. And this incense was a sign of victory to the ones who were standing there watching the parade. It was a very pleasant smell to them. To the ones who were walking to their death, it was a terrible smell. It was a smell of the victory of their great enemy, and they were going to perish. That's what the gospel is. And Christ is not kidding when he says, My word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and shall prosper in the thing whereto I have sent it. It's a savor of life unto life to those who believe. It's a savor of death unto death to those who reject it. But there's always something happening when the word of God is preached. Something is happening. It accomplishes that which the Savior pleases, either salvation or judgment. Perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, everybody know, we all know that. When the wise men came to worship the baby Jesus, when they were come into the house, saw the young child with Mary his mother, they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Little children learn this during the Christmas service. Myrrh is a very important thing in Scripture, and ointment a very important thing. Mary of Bethany anointed Jesus by pouring the ointment over his head. When the ointment of the alabaster box that was broken was poured in the head of Jesus, the disciples reacted against it, led by Judas. To what purpose is this waste? The ointment could have been sold for much and the money given to the poor. And the disciples all joined into there. Jesus said, leave her alone. She's done a good work on me. She's anointing me for my burial. How precious was it? John 12, verse 3, Mary took a pound of the ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. It was precious. All powders of the merchant. The word powders here is a one-time usage. We can't even begin to imagine what this means. Every powder of the merchant, and Jesus Christ comes with it to give it to his bride. It's a beautiful thought here. Now, we're going to be stopping because this thought continues in the verses that follow, and God willing, next week, if Christ doesn't come back first, we will, if God allows it, continue to follow this precious, precious thing of who this is that comes out in the wilderness. Just to give you a glimpse of what's going to happen, though. And this is the picture. Imagine this. Legions of holy angels are in heaven looking down at this great and terrible wilderness. And as they watch, everybody that's born into the world walks into this great and terrible wilderness. And it's a valley of death. And they're watching. And people die, hundreds upon thousands of them. They die and are buried. Nobody's coming out. And people go in and they stay. And then all of a sudden, one person comes out. And in amazement, they say, who is this? Who is this mighty warrior that's coming out with pillars of smoke, and he's destroyed all the cities of the enemies, and he's got powders and ointment? Who is this? Well, they're going to be amazed a second time too, because a second person is going to come out. Only two. First of all, the bridegroom, and later on, the bride. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 5. Same question. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? This is another story for another time.